Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
Morning. I was thinking this past week about how much I like to read. I think a lot of people really like to read. But I was thinking back to my childhood, and even as a child, I just really loved to read storybooks. After church every week, as part of a book program, my mom would take my sister and I to the bookstore, and we'd get to pick out a book. And more often than not, what I would pick out would be a Berenstain Bears book. Now, this is a book that a story series that a lot of people know, a lot of people remember even as adults. I read them to my kids now. I liked the different details that were in them. I liked the pictures and looking at the different parts of it and trying to follow the story and seeing the children bears go through a lot of the same things that me and my friends would go through. There was one in particular that I really liked, and it was one where they had a clubhouse. And I liked that clubhouse. They had raspberry bushes around them. They had a moat around the clubhouse. They built it on this little island in a pond. And I thought that was fun. I wanted to take part in that clubhouse. That was great. The name of that story was No Girls Allowed. And it never really occurred to me as a child that this was a bad thing. I was so focused on how great this clubhouse was, and I wasn't the one being excluded, that I get to take part in this. I mean, of course, they're fictional characters in a book. But as a child, I was like, yeah, I could do that too. I could go out in the woods and build my own clubhouse, and everything will be great. But this clubhouse had signs. What happened was the little sister in the book had been bragging a lot about how great she was, and the boys said, well, we don't need her anymore. So we're going to go off and build our own clubhouse, and we're going to put up these signs that say, keep out. No trespassing. No girls allowed. It was very much just for them. And sister didn't like this. She went off and she made her own clubhouse with her own friends, and her said, no boys allowed. And they were so focused on fighting each other and on the rules of keeping each other out that Mama Bear, the one who often spoke wisdom in the books, kind of like real life, came in and said, you know what? You all will be having a lot more fun together. And so they got together, they got to share snacks, they got to hang out, and they had a lot of fun. Now, getting to the reason why I'm bringing this up, there's a lot of churches that have signs. A lot of churches that unintentionally have signs. Some churches have signs that look like this. Now, they don't post them, they don't say it, but by their actions, this is what they show to the outside world. Now, I won't name any churches specifically, but there is a church that's known for showing up at funerals and protesting. And by nature, I would think that outsiders would be scared to even try to go to that church. There's other churches that put up signs more like this. You can come in if we approve you. You can come in if you're like us. You can come in if you're following the way that we think things should be. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, there are churches that put up signs that say, we welcome all. And a lot of them are genuinely honest in this. But some of them are putting up signs that say, we welcome all. Don't expect to be challenged here. Don't expect to be changed here. Now, a church like that can be in danger of preaching not a people made in the image of God, but a God made in the image of people. I don't know about you, but I don't want a God like that. I know how bad I am sometimes. I know I'm not God. I don't want a God made in my image. I want a God that challenges me, that shapes me, that forms me, that wants to draw me into the image of His Son. Now, looking at these two comparisons, I think we should look back at maybe what Jesus did when he interacted with the synagogues of his day. One example that sticks out to me was the widow and the two pennies. Jesus didn't shun her for not giving enough. He didn't shun her for sneaking in quietly and giving her two pennies. He made an example of her. And often he would heal the crippled on the Sabbath or the demon-possessed. Now, looking at our passage today specifically in Luke, I think it can be helpful to look at what synagogues were like in those days. I did a little research on this because I was in the habit of thinking that synagogues were very similar to what we see in church services today. That it was run kind of the same, and that it was somewhat empty throughout the week, except for on Sunday morning, or in their case, Saturday morning. Now, the verse begins and says, "Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath." And I got curious. I said, Jesus is traveling all around. He's not a rabbi that has a specific synagogue, so how is he just walking into this synagogue and teaching? Well, the way synagogues were set up those days, there were some chairs up front for the elders of the congregation and for any distinguished guests that were there. Jesus, this was late in his ministry. He was well known. He would have had one of those seats up front. And they would have known that he's a rabbi that's been around preaching throughout the countryside. And then in front of them, there were benches set up. And the women were usually towards the back, and the men were towards the front. Now, any member of the congregation that was over 13 years old when they had the bar mitzvah could come forward and have something to say. But a normal service would start with the Torah, or the law. One of the leaders would read from the law and then would teach about it. And then another teacher would read from the prophets and then teach about it. And this is probably what was going on when we start this passage here. Jesus had read and was now teaching from the law or from the prophets. And he looks up and he sees this woman that's crippled. And he goes against the standards and he calls her forward. He breaks away from the patterns of the way of doing things and calls her forward and heals her. Now, going forward, the ruler of the synagogue was indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Now, this was their standard of doing things. You do not do work on the Sabbath. Now, the synagogue was expecting this guy to stand up and say something, or at least some people in the congregation that were not surprised that the synagogue leader stood up and said something. He wasn't a lone wolf, so to say, just standing up and saying something on his own. And he said, you know, the synagogue is open all these other days. It's used as a community center all these other days. It's used as a meeting place. It's used for almost like town meetings. And on the Sabbath is when we get together and we study the Torah together. Come on those other days. We're open. Come by on those other days to be healed. I thought it was interesting that it said the ruler of the synagogue. I'd always assumed it would be a rabbi that was leading the synagogue. But it was a ruler. It wasn't necessarily somebody who had had the training to be called a rabbi. But he was someone who organized the service, who had the scriptures ready to be used, and was present throughout the week. I thought it was interesting also that the ruler did not respond directly to Jesus. If Jesus were sitting here, and the ruler was here, he completely ignored him, treated him as insignificant. Said to the people, you're doing this wrong by showing up here to be healed on this day. And that's when Jesus steps in and says, no, the point of the Sabbath is not rules and restrictions, but release. The point of the Sabbath is an escape. Christianity is about being in relationship with God, not the rules. The following of the right ways of doing things is impossible without God's grace. Out of being in relationship with God, through his grace, he shapes and forms us. Amen. And oftentimes, when we've been here a while, we forget that it's only by his grace that we even know any of these right ways of doing things. Now, how should we apply this to today? It can be difficult because, like I showed with the signs, there can be two extremes. You can go to either side and be getting something a little off. And it's important to strike a balance. We have to stay true to the history and to the traditions of the church. But we also have to remember what Jesus said about loving God and loving neighbor being above all other laws. Now, this is not meant to water it down. The law is still the law. But rather, it's recognizing that our primary goal, our primary intention, our primary task is not to change other people, but to ensure that they have the opportunity to engage and interact with God. Not a God that does nothing. Not a God that expects nothing. Not a God that won't change them. For that is a God that is made in their own image. But God that will challenge and change them, that will form them over time into the image of his Son. That is the hope that we have. That is the hope that we seek to share. We have a really great clubhouse here. We have a great clubhouse. I love being part of this clubhouse. But we need to make sure that all are invited to experience, to interact with the grace of God.
Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you as you serve him today.